Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursday at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is Double Take. Now look at Kevin. I finally got you when you're not cruising around the world. Not only are we going to be talking about Den of Thieves 2, Pantera.
Yes.
We're also going to get your take on the year, last year, film. Because we missed it last week because of the storm.
Yes.
And so I want to hear some things about what you have to say. And so anyway, let's open up with Den of Thieves 2.
Sure.
Pantera. This guy, I can't tell you, I've seen many of his, Gerard Butler's films.
Yeah.
What is the matter with me? These are just heist films.
Gerard Butler, he had a bit of a presence in the UK because I think he's Irish or Scottish.
Yeah, he's Scottish.
He's Scottish. Yeah. And he's had a presence in the UK. And then he did 300.
Yes, and 300
that
did.
Blew him up in Hollywood. And so he's done a bunch of movies. And so he's like Liam Neeson.
He is, exactly.
Churning younger, out these movies.
Younger than Liam Neeson. So he's got a good 20 more years and millions of dollars to go because this is apparently doing well. And it hasn't, for Lionsgate, it hasn't done well in the last 2 years. And now this one is coming through for them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the original Den of Thieves, which came out seven years ago.
That's right.
It was just kind of just dropped and it did okay. I hated it. Loathed it. It was one of my worst movies. It may have been my worst movie of 2018.
Oh my gosh, oh no.
And so then they decided to do this one because at least it made some money. It like did like $80 on a $50 million or a $30 million budget. So it was profitable. So they made this. And it's doing about the same. It's turned into this tiny franchise. And it looks like they're really going to want to try and expand it and make it sort of the Fast and Furious light without all the fast cars.
Yeah. Well, apparently the first Den of Thieves was unabashedly imitative of Heist or
Heat. Yeah, Heat. A lot of people compared it to Heat.
De Niro and
Heat was a better movie though, in every sense of the word. It was a better directed movie. It had a better story. But what I didn't like about the original Den of Thieves, and this was mirrored in this one,
okay,
is I hated everybody. Every single character, you know. And you don't have to have likable characters, but they at least have to be interesting. And I didn't find them interesting at all.
For me, I just relax. It's a little bit like you and Carolyn on a trip, on a cruise. Just kind of let everything go and relax and enjoy myself.
They definitely let everything go. There's a lot of shots of just people randomly smoking.
Oh, the smoking.
I think that was in his contract. It was probably like, yeah, I'll do the movie, but I got to be able to smoke in all the scenes, you know?
I always love heist films.
Okay.
And what I liked about this one in particular was all the preparation for the heist.
That was most of the movie.
Yes, most of the movie, which I think is unusual in that a movie usually like this is the heist itself, right?
Yeah, you got to spread it out that way. And I think the ones that do the best are like the Oceans movies.
Yes,
the Soderbergh Oceans movies. Yeah. But I'll give you that. I mean, it wasn't just trying to do action for 2.5 hours. There was a lot of not action going on in it.
There's a twist on this toward the end.
Sure.
And I'm not... Did you see it coming?
Yeah, I
Well, you didn't care enough.
I didn't care enough. I'm just like... I'm just sort of like a piece of algae watching this movie, letting it just flow over me at this point.
Well, Butler plays a cop, and the Ice Cube's son.
O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Right, yeah. O'Shea's character has been the mastermind of a heist that they got away with years ago.
Which was the one from the first movie.
And so Butler's character is trying to get back at that. He's trying to. And so he joins them.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes a case for being without money and tired of the whole system and joins him as his enemy there.
It's a bit of a flip of the script. That's true.
I mean, Kevin, but looking at it with a more critical eye, how do they accept him into their group? An ex-cop?
Don't even go down the logical rabbit hole, John, in this one. Well, no, cause it just there are things that on a very basic level, I respect the fact, like you said, that they tried to draw it out and say, okay, these are the things
yes.
that we're doing,
right.
and we're not just going to go straight in, and then we have to have him endear himself to the criminals so that they can partner together. I didn't, like I said, I didn't care about anybody. I didn't think the characters worked that well. And then it turned into a lot of people. I think I said this in my other review was there's just a lot of scenes of underlit people in dark clothes chasing other people in dark clothes.
Yeah. And Butler's getting older and heavier, and he's got a beard.
Butler's the O'Shea Jackson's. He's the junior and the third at this point. I mean, thicker than Steven Seagal in some of his movies.
Oh my! And it's set in Nice, France. Now you can't get a much prettier place than that.
That's neat. That's nice. That's nice.
That's right. Thank you. They're going to be robbing the World Diamond
Center. Yeah, I don't know. I mean. Again, like Kevin, like to compare it to the Ocean's movies, you're like robbing a casino and they go through some pretty elaborate stuff. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, is this just some warehouse? And it seemed a little easier to rob than it really should have.
Well, here's another thing, Kev. They're manipulating this whole process when they're going down corridors and stuff. There are ways that they are getting involved in the 137 cameras and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how are they doing this? I guess electronically.
Yeah, they have the whole scene where they're like setting it up and they're like, we got to clock all the cameras and we're going to have them rotating and stuff. And then they cut to a scene and they're like, trust me, we have technology that can do this. It just looks really cool.
I really thought that the possible romance between Butler and that younger woman.
Yeah.
But nothing materialized.
Yeah, the only person who was on a diet in the entire movie was the good-looking woman.
Yes.
Everyone else was porked out because... And look, I am not a svelte guy, but I also don't pretend to be an action star.
Yeah, but you're a former... food giant.
Well, a giant. You're
competitive.
I'm a current giant.
Yeah.
that's
always been a part of your life.
I love food. I do. Yeah.
And you were a competitor.
I did do competitive eating. Yeah.
But
that got tough.
Yeah. It suits you. Even your beard suits you. I'm not sure.
Well, it certainly helped with the competitive eating. It, you know, kept a lot of debris in the way.
But Gerard's beard isn't as attractive as yours is.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, Gerard, here's the thing. I don't blame Gerard Butler for these movies. I, in fact, loved Gerard Butler. Like, Plane last year was stupid but fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, like, the Olympus is falling and everything is falling.
Angel is falling.
Yeah, everything. Those are...
Kandahar.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw you into the Mideast in an interesting way.
He's done some really good... Just sort of like low budget action movies, and he's game for anything, and so I do have an affinity for Gerard Butler, just not in these movies.
Yeah, actually, this is the same director, I think, as London Has Fallen.
Is it?
Yeah,
Christian
Gudegast, original 2018, Den.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's done only two of the Butler movies.
Okay.
I thought it would have been more.
I mean, this is somewhat disposable. So it does kind of look like it could be like you remember The Equalizer 3 with Denzel Washington.
I love it. That's why I'm going to Amalfi.
That's a great movie, and I think that benefited from the move to Europe. One feels that way as well.
Yes, yeah. I was appreciative of some of the cinematography, particularly the car races. I didn't think how you could improve on car races, but somehow I was drawn into and felt that this was almost the real deal.
Well, I think one of the things with car races, especially in modern action movies, is with the ability of using smaller cameras that still shoot high def, you can put them
in
places.
Right.
You used to have to just
right.
pimp out a rig with this giant camera. You saw The Fall Guy and you saw how they would put the cameras on the outside. Well, you can use just little, I mean,
well, you can put it right in the
GoPros
car,
and stuff
right
like
near
that.
The wheel well.
Yeah.
You can, and they can use,
I don't think they really did much with drone footage in this. I've seen them movies do drone footage stuff.
I'm getting used to it.
The cameras can do some really cool things, and you can get almost as 360 within a car, so without rigging it up. And I think that you get an authenticity.
It is a very pretty location, and they've done that from Jason Bourne. Everybody has gone.
Yeah.
People have gone to Europe. I think has been, as you would say, really been beneficial to them.
Well, I mean, if you're shooting in like just an American city, the American city just because of
except for San Fran.
Well, but even saying, oh, that has some older buildings, but a lot of these places in America, like you go to L.A., you're not going to get very...
And now, since we have done a job for Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, and I think a pretty credible job.
I think we had a good back and forth on that one.
We had a good Siskel Ebert thing going here. In the past, you have been the person who has seen the most movies I know of. It's not correct anymore because you dropped your podcast.
I no longer do the Fat Guys of the Movies radio show, so I don't have to see six things every week.
I know, and there was not a film that I could ask you about that you hadn't seen.
Every now and then, there were always a couple that would slip through my fingers, but I would usually see everything.
All right, so now that we know you haven't seen everything... Yeah. You know, the big question I have for you, Kev, what's your favorite of 2024?
And keep this in mind that there's a lot that I haven't seen. But yes. What's the one that keeps bubbling to the top actually was The Wild Robot.
Yeah, very good.
I keep going back to that movie. Yes. And then what was it? It was some critic organization gave that its best, best movie of the year just recently. I follow one of the guys in CCA. I think it's... The next best picture is the handle, but they track all that stuff and yeah, The Wild Robot one. But I think it's just such a charming little lovely movie, and it's been a while since I've been putting animated films on my top 10 list. So yeah, that's definitely
Flow. One. You didn't get to see Flow.
I didn't get to see Flow yet. Right. No,
which I think is a really good one.
I want to. I've heard a lot of good things about that one.
It's thoughtful. Mm-hmm. It's a bit abstract.
Is that French? Or
Latvian.
Latvian, okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter because especially with the animated stuff, you can do
there's
dubbing.
No dialogue.
It's very transferable.
Yeah, it's somewhat moody and so on. And I know that you are in favor of the one that the organization we belong to is called Kafka, mm-hmm. the Columbus Film Critics Association.
Columbus, Ohio.
Does it?
I don't know. I don't know.
It says Columbus Film. I had to get that straight, too.
There was a long discussion
about that. It used to be Central Ohio Film Critics. Yes. And now it is simply Columbus Film Critics.
I think it's just a CO from Columbus.
Yes, right.
Kafka.
But their best film is Substance.
That's right.
Substance with Demi Moore. Yeah. And what is it? Man, I liked it. I thought it was a bit... As it moved toward
grotesque,
the end.
Is that what you're going to say?
I would say that's a good word.
It's a little graphic, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. I think one of the reasons that I think critics in particular went for The Substance was because of, I would say subtext, but some of it's not even subtext. It's pretty much out there.
It's on point, as they say.
On point of the gender politics in Hollywood and in the world. Yes. And also there tends to be a very... I would say a lot of critics like to see it when an actor or actress takes things down and does something daring and bold. And Demi Moore, who's, what's she, about 60?
Yeah.
And does a lot of stuff with brave stuff in Hollywood to show off your imperfections, which you don't see all that often. And even when they have a character that does that, they're oftentimes hiding it, but she let everything hang out.
Well, supposedly Nicole Kidman did too in Baby Girl, but there's a shot there of her backside which is quite beautiful, but I'm not sure it's hers.
She was more sexualized in Baby Girl than Demi Moore was little bit, but not nearly the way they did with Margaret Qualley.
The camera
was everywhere on
that. That's right. Yeah. So. Substance is, and I like your argument. It's not my favorite of the year, but I do like your argument that what's endearing to it is that it's thematic emphasis.
Yeah.
Just as you had spread it, you know, about the way in which women have been treated and still are being treated.
Well, and some of the juxtapositions in that movie are pretty stark, not just between Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley, but there's a whole section with her having lunch with Dennis Quaid. Just the absolute piggy is. I don't want to eat. I almost never want to eat shrimp again. And it's so crash, but it's so real and it's so true. Especially if you read any of these stories of old Hollywood, if you talk about like the pre-70s, you know.
Kev, you haven't seen Nosferatu.
No, I have. I did.
You
yes.
did. And your take on that?
I liked it. The thing with Nosferatu is it's almost like he needs a smaller budget to make a really great movie. Because I love The Witch and I love The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And I thought The Northman and this were good, solid movies.
I love Lighthouse.
But almost kind of went he couldn't contain it as well. But I mean, then again, you got to look at what he was working with. He was going up against the original Nosferatu. He was also having to pay homage and speak to the Werner Herzog version from the 70s. Oh,
what's wonderful, Klaus Kinski.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And what's interesting about that one is that one starts putting subtext into it with plague and that kind of thing, which was not in the original Nosferatu. Nosferatu, the original right. 22.
That's right.
It's a very basic Dracula story.
Something that has surfaced for me for one of the top for me for last year happened to be only recently, Emilia Perez.
Okay.
Boy, I liked it. Did you get a chance to see it?
That one I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's free time, and that one's longer. But I, you know what's funny is I had to pull the clip of the song that won the Golden Globe, Elmar. Yeah. And I'm watching. I'm like, this is a banger. This is a really good song. And it's one that's like the dark horse, I would say.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's the dark horse. I mean, The Brutalist right now seems to be the one to beat just because it won the drama at Golden Globes. But Emilia Perez... Netflix is throwing everything behind this.
And if you're a subscriber, you don't have to pay anything to see it.
Yeah.
And it is well worth seeing.
Yeah.
Not familiar with the trans motif.
Yeah.
This is a really good introduction to it because there are questions you might ask as to what this film does halfway. Yeah. Once you have the trans completed and you have our male going to female, then you say, okay, what happens? Then they do what happens.
Well, and I think what's been brilliant about how they packaged this, how yes. Netflix has packaged this, they didn't put that on the forefront.
No, right.
And it is such a triggering thing to a lot of people that there's I've never heard anybody say, is that the trans movie or something like that? And not to say that you need to hide stuff like that. That's one of the themes of the movie. There's a lot going on in the film. And by not putting that in the forefront, it didn't like invite a backlash to it, which I think was very smart. And now it's out there as a award contender, and people are like, "Oh, wait, there's a whole transitioning, sexual transitioning element to this that people weren't even aware of," which I think was brilliant. Just you know, like lead people in, and then they have to face it or turn it off and be a bigot. You know,
in some ways, it reminds me of The Crying Game. We were all complicit in The Crying Game. We would not allow people to know what the reveal was there.
Yeah, up to a point until Siskel and Ebert decided to.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they blew it out there. And then it became like a joke to blow the...
Oh, that's right. And then you could figure out how they're going to nominate Jay Davidson, you know, he or she or what. There was the same feeling that it was much more. It was about the troubles in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about love. And a really, I thought, one of the best takes ever on love.
Well, and I think in to that point, between the public knowledge of what the twist was in The Crying Game...
Yes.
Changed how people watched The Crying Game.
Yes.
Before everybody knew that twist, they went to go, oh, I just hear this is a great movie, and it'd be a lot of word for it. And then after that, everyone went in going, oh, that's with the dude. You know, that's the one with the guy.
Yeah, right. You know? And what I remember so vividly is that nobody would tell anybody. Mm. There was something like we were all in the same game.
Yeah.
And we would not, The Crying
Game.
We were all in The Crying Game. And we wouldn't, because it was a real spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
And because guys like me, clueless.
Mm-hmm.
Till I get the reveal, not an idea.
Yeah.
That she was a he.
Yeah.
Never.
What? Is that how The Crying Game is? Is that what happens in
well,
The Crying
Game? That's
not even how it ends. It's like a second act.
30
reveal.
Years ago. Yeah. I think we're safe
to
reveal. But it is actually a very good thriller.
But it was one of those, because it came out, it predated like The Sixth
92.
Sense. Yeah, by several years. But it was in the 90s, there was this awareness of don't spoil things for people, which I wish we could have that back.
Yeah, right.
But now we have stuff going, oh, guess what happens when bleak spoiler alert happens
you're
in a
right.
movie.
You're right.
With the culture of the online culture, people want to be the first one to blow things, you know.
Kev.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the one that for a long time of last year was my favorite.
Okay.
Sing Sing.
Okay. That's one I also didn't see.
Yeah, that's one that I hope you will see. It's one with Coleman Domingo.
I love Coleman
it's
Domingo.
It's about the therapeutic qualities of theater.
Yeah.
It's in the prison, in Sing Sing Prison.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of one of my favorites last year that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
That I think is available online called Ghostlight.
Okay.
And this is the one about the theater company.
Okay, yeah. And, well, Ghostlight, yeah.
Yeah, and the their... This has a very similar theme to Sing Sing, but that one doesn't even have a chance. Sing Sing, Coleman Domingo may have a chance.
The if you want to just talk just raw marketing of a film and how you put it out, I think the big mistake was releasing Sing Sing as early as they did.
I know. I hate to hear you say that.
But that's the way
right.
It is. If it comes out before, I used to say before August, but I mean, God, before October. It's really hard to bring back. You sometimes get traction back on a film. Like the best, the Grand Budapest Hotel was released in like the summer or something like that and ended up winning Best Picture, but that is rare. Usually it has to come at the end of the year.
Well, Kevin Carr, I knew we wouldn't get through anything when we got going to this, but I'm very, very happy to talk with you about it. Now, so we know that The Substance was your favorite, and for me, somewhere between...
And The Wild Robot.
Wild Robot. And for me, somewhere between Sing Sing and Emilia Perez is where I am. So we've got some good films there. Is there any other that, even for acting or anything, you want to say on the way out about 2024?
Well, I would say the one thing that always frustrates me in this job is that when it gets to the end of the year, there's a whole bunch of films that are discounted, oftentimes animation, which is why I wanted to bring up The Wild Robot. But it's okay if, like, Deadpool and Wolverine was your favorite movie of 20. It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can own that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why something like The Substance was so shocking and surprising, because it's a body horror film. And it also made a lot of money. It's like the biggest grossing movie. Yeah, and it did very, very well.
Right.
And there's been a bunch of horror films like Long Legs and stuff like that that have generated a whole lot of cash that people tend to forget because they weren't $1 billion movies. So yeah, go look at the other stuff.
And
Heretic.
Oh, wonderful movie! Mm-hmm. Wonderful movie. I've seen some clips now of Hugh Grant, in interviews that he's had years ago.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Oh, he is a very funny guy.
He's a bright, he has got such a take with that whole visage of his, which is so unusual, and he's got such a good, he's wry, and he is self-deprecating, and he is very good. The Heretic, yes, thank you. It's a great, if you've ever wondered, you know, what would happen if I really confronted these young women who are there hawking the Bible on your front door.
Yeah.
This is the one you want to see.
It's a cautionary tale for any of you young missionaries out there.
And the other one that I would recommend that's kind of going to get lost, but is always in everybody's list, is Conclave.
Okay, yeah.
And this is really...
I'm surprised it hadn't picked... I mean, it's picked up some awards, but I'm surprised it didn't pick up more.
Yeah, right. It's very well done. The acting is superior.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be Catholic to enjoy The Conclave. It's the choosing of the Pope. It's a fiction.
You can watch it with The First Omen, you know, as a double feature.